You're listening to Podcast on Fire. It's Asian cinema in a podcast with your hosts, the magnificent trio of Stu, Ken, and Mike.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcast on Fire 48. I'm Kenneth Wilson, the host for tonight, and with me is...
Matt.
Banner.
Actually, I could have said Mike. Just trying to cut down on use of syllables, I think, as I mentioned in a different podcast. But Mike's only one, so... And yeah. Now I've wasted loads of syllables explaining that I could have said Mike instead of me.
But then again, syllables are saved because Stuart Sutherland is not here currently. And I don't know if you fancy giving him proper roasting, but then again, we have not done that towards you when you were late for several podcasts, so...
I'll be honest, Ken, I've never thought about roasting Stu.
Until now. Yeah, we'll just get on with it. We're all friends, and Stu is occupied in real life, whereas this is not real life. This is an excuse for a life.
He's probably occupied. Explain nothing.
What was that you broke up? He's probably occupied.
You what?
Yeah, I didn't hear what you said there. He's probably occupied.
I said he's probably occupied playing Guitar Hero on his Xbox.
So that's why he's running late. I'm at the expert level. I'm playing, Metallica and Sandman expert level. Gotta finish that. Gotta learn the drums. Anyway, he probably has a good excuse, so we'll get on with it. Last movies watched, so being the host, I will not start. I'll let you talk about last movies watched, and I fucking hope you have a movie to talk about.
No, I don't. You know, I have been unseasonably busy for the past couple of weeks. A great swathe of my time eaten up by helping my girlfriend and her family renovate some old house.
Real life issues.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, so instead of like lazing around playing Xbox and watching video games, I've been stripping wallpaper and painting doors. Not a lot of fun. So unfortunately, I haven't had a lot of time to watch any films. But some listeners might remember, anyone's been paying attention or care, that I came to a similar problem before where I hadn't watched anything, and I went with new movies coming up, kind of, to sub the fact that I ain't watched anything. This is going to be my last trailers watched.
LTW.
Yep, LTW. Because the new Storm Warriors trailer came out.
Oh, I know what Stu is now. He's still watching the trailer.
Yeah, it's probably on continuous play.
Heck yeah.
Stroking his Ekin doll, which Stu made himself out of papier-mâché and dog hair.
he stole that from like a dog show from the winning dog. Now that's hair.
Part of a yellow high-vis jacket to disguise himself, looked like a worker and just went around sweeping up the dog hair from the winner's section.
Not disturbing at all.
So I watched that trailer.
Did you ever watch the original? I haven't, actually. Storm Riders?
No. Well, to be honest, I think I had... I owned Man Called Hero.
Right.
And I might have owned Storm Riders. But, to be honest, they weren't really my kind of film. I only bought them because they were cheap.
Right.
I didn't really want to... at the time, kind of flying around... Nazi Wuxia stuff wasn't really my cup of tea, but I've kind of warmed to a bit more as I've got older.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw this trailer, and it reminded me of the trailer for Goemon, the Kaz, can't remember his name.
It's director of Kaz Shurn, yeah, his new movie.
Kiria, that's it. Kaz Kiria. Oh yeah, it directed Kaz Shurn, and used to be married to Atada Hikaru, the singer. His new film, which is, like Kaz Shurn, a big CGI fest. So, yeah, the Storm Warriors trailer, I don't know if you've watched it yet, Kenneth.
I actually didn't, I only watched a few seconds of it. Basically saw a lot of Simon Yam footage, which amused me, because Simon Yam in any period movie is really unusual. Because he's such a big fucking cinema, Hong Kong cinema whore. He appears in anything, that's true, but it's just very unusual to see him in a period piece. Really unusual, so...
It is a bit weird, and he's playing the main villain as well.
Which suits him.
Lord Godless.
Oh yeah, that's good. I guess I didn't have time to see it. I just saw a few seconds of it. Looked big and fancy, and but I didn't really decide upon an opinion based on those few seconds. But what did you think?
Well, it's got a kind of... I mean, I haven't watched 300, but it's got a kind of a 300 look to it, mm-hmm. in terms of style, from what I've seen 300 anyway. I don't know. It looks nice and stylish. Simon Yam's got a gnarly-looking costume and some pretty funky stuff and lots of really nice-looking visual effects and everything. But I don't know, it stands a good chance of being a big style-over-substance type effort.
It's always a risk with the Pang brothers directing, because I'm saying that because when you separate the brothers as filmmakers, there's actually a very distinctive difference. Oxide Pang has proven to be the better filmmaker, a very good visual director and a story-driven director, while Danny Pang, albeit I'm only trusting reviews when I'm saying this, but he's not received basically any good reviews for his own directed films, which he has produced with his brother, but he's still the sole director on movies like Forest of Death and Leave Me Alone, the action comedy with Ekin Cheng, which was not good at all. So even them together can be a style of substance, possibly substance. You know, you never know until you see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this has got a cracking cast. You know, you've got Ekin Cheng, Alan Kwok, Simon Yam, Charlene Choi, Lam Suet, Nick Fair. So there's plenty going on there. And like I said, it looks really nice. But it's going to be hard to tell what it's like until... And to be perfectly honest, I haven't seen the first film, so I don't really know if that had much of a story going on.
No, and I haven't seen it either, and I really, I'm not against it. It's just, I guess it never was then, and it isn't really now my type of film, to be honest. I'm sure I can put it on and just watch it, you know, in a popcorn kind of way. But it's not, you know... I won't rush out to see it, either getting the old DVD or the new DVD or Blu-ray. It's not, you know, I have far too many things to watch, and it's not, you know, I'm going to buy Storm Riders now. Yeah.
Well, don't you love Zoo?
I do love Zoo, yeah.
The kind of, the not the original Warriors from Magic Mountain, but, you know.
Legend of Zoo, yeah, I do.
Yeah,
and that's shameless visuals only, no coherent story, so I am weak for that at times. So again, it's not. Whenever you do get to it, I guess, you know, I'll form an opinion then. But my type, you know, you have a type of movie as a movie fan, and some things you just have to watch because it on paper sounds even thrilling in a minor way. You know, if any big gore movie is coming out of anywhere. You know, I'll probably go and watch that because I have a weakness for, you know, extreme gore movies.
Yeah.
You know, both especially old school, but you know, whenever they do it nowadays. For instance, I watched The Rage this week, the low budget Robert Kurtzman special effects movie, special effects gore movie. Robert Kurtzman is one of the people in the makeup special effects team K&B. He's the K in K&B. And Dave done like effects for From Dusk Till Dawn and Dave the Dead and everything. So, and that was just a big excuse to feature gore and killer vultures, basically. coming back to it, you're weak for a certain thing, and I'm sure Stu is weak for this kind of movie too. So that's why he got excited just watching the trailer, and we'll watch it as soon as he can. But I'm one of those people that I'll probably watch it, but it might be I don't know 10 years after the movie. You never know.
Yeah. Well, right. If I like a big stylish, you know, visual eyeball treat.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice if it was backing it up either with some really good action, and with the people involved. I'm not expecting that, to be perfectly honest, or a really involving story. They actually built some characters. It would be nice. Because otherwise, it's just rather empty.
And they probably... I'm guessing it's going to be like a two-hour movie, and the stories they gathered from the comic is probably... Maybe they crammed a lot of story into 2 hours, which means it will be a bit scattershot and probably possibly incoherent. You know, it happens when you take large volumes of things. For instance, you mentioned Sue, the original Sue. As good of a movie as I think it is, I like it. It's a shit a load of novels and chapters just jammed into 90 minutes. So, yeah.
Like the old Chow Yun Shaw Brothers, Ruja films.
Yeah, they probably were like that.
Which had about 15 characters every couple of scenes.
Yeah.
The characters from Storm Warriors sound like they were named by 8-year-old girls.
Wind Cloud.
Whispering Wind. Striding Cloud. Lord Wicked. Nick Zare gets to play Heart. We've got Piggy King with Lam Suet. Lord Godless. You know, it sounded like they were named by 8-year-olds. And it would feature unicorns at some point, if it was an 8-year-old film.
I wonder how old the comic actually is. If it's, you know, if it's 10 years older than the original movie, the original 1998 movie, or 98 movie, or if it's 20 years old or whatever, but could have been written at any time, really.
Yeah. Right, so then I'm moving on to... by the way, these trailers will be on the website. You should be able to spot them if you're listening to the podcast. It's Goemon, which I loved Kashyyyk. I think I mentioned Goemon on here before.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you haven't seen a trailer for it, Ken?
No, I have not.
Well, well, well. Look who decided to turn up.
Who?
It's Stuart Brain Sutherland.
Well...
Save syllables.
They're confused the lad now. Well, you know, the host has always got to make, like, the entrance, the late one.
And apologise to the listeners and to me and Kenneth.
No.
Do you hear that, listeners? He doesn't give a shit about you. So what's your excuse then?
I was too busy socialising.
Unbelievable.
Guitar hero.
Unbelievable.
Guitar hero.
So you weren't making Ekin puppets out of canine fur and papier mâché?
They give me ideas, new man. Come on. You didn't want me to leave the podcast again.
I think we're quite alright on our own, actually.
Oh, that stung.
You're having a good chat going?
Yeah. Ken, that hurt.
Now, see, because of your lateness...
But now it's even better.
You've missed the chance to chat about Storm Warriors and your man, Ekin.
I'll never miss the chance to talk about Storm Warriors.
You have already.
Well, you've already missed it, bitch. We're on to Goemon now.
Yeah. No more Storm Riders and Storm Warriors for you.
Yeah. Have you watched the trailer, Kenneth?
I have watched the trailer for Goemon.
Stuart, have you watched it?
For Goemon?
Goemon.
I think I did ages ago when it first came out on YouTube.
Yeah. What's it look like then, Stu?
It kind of looks like Cass Hearn.
Hmm.
Hopefully it won't be bad as Cass Hearn.
Oh, Cass Hearn's awesome.
Aye, the trailer was awesome. And then
the
it put
awesome.
In all these long, boring, bloody discussions between hand. Is that like 2.5 hours?
What, you mean dialogue and story?
Yeah. Fuck that shit. I just wanted to see the guy in the cool-ass ninja suit destroy robots.
See, I think
it was spoiled by adding a story.
Visually, and probably stylistically, it's got quite a bit in common with the old Storm Warriors.
Right.
Except I think from the trailer, visually, it looks better.
Oh, right. This film looks amazing.
The costumes look great, and the kind of hyper-real colours, I think look really cool.
Yeah.
And it's based on an anime, I think. Because Goemon was a real ninja.
Right.
And a lot of the events in the film are based on real events, but with a kind of a Robin Hood style thing going on with Goemon.
Yeah, I was about to say, it looked a bit like, I guess the wrong term is swashbuckling, but it looked kind of an old-timey adventure, the first half of the trailer, and not sci-fi as I imagined based on the title, basically. That's a not a fair thing to say, but I'm surprised it looked a bit old-fashioned, a little bit like Robin Hood, I guess.
I like it. It looks like a good, fun, rompy adventure with some nice visuals. And I, for one, loved Cash Earn. I thought it was great. So out the two, I'm definitely more excited about seeing Goemon.
Oh, no way. Surprise.
Got a feeling I know which way Stu's going to go. Ken, well, which one's got you a bit of a bone again?
Well, then again, I only saw a few seconds of the Storm Riders trailer, as I said, so I haven't judged it as such. But to be honest, trailers don't excite me that much anymore. The actual movies possibly will. So, based on the trailer, it looks all right. It can be a good visual ride, hopefully a good story to go along with it. And he certainly knows how to put together a visual based on the quick cut trailer, obviously. And the costumes, as you said, look quite... if I didn't know he was a photographer, I would have guessed he was a fashion designer. Because it looks... These costumes look a bit... I wouldn't say fashionable, but they look very... a bit
haute couture.
Sorry?
Haute couture.
Yeah, whatever that means. okay. But yeah, so trailers don't excite me that much, but I'll probably watch it sometime if it's readily available, maybe a rental eventually, because there's no chance this is going to play at a cinema near me anyway. So hopefully therefore it will get the international distribution and easy access rental. I don't think Cash Earn is available as rental here, but I could be wrong. And I'm willing to give that a chance based on, really, you know, it's another movie. And hopefully it's a good movie. You know, I don't go into things with preconceived notions. Well, I can have them in the back of my head, but, you know, I'm not decided anything beforehand. I kind of stop doing that and just expect something from the movie rather than the trailer, if that makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, just to recap for, you know, those people who are joining the podcast late, that was last trailers watched to...
See, I'll leave the show for 5 minutes and they start changing all up.
17 minutes! We're quarter to 17!
was to make up for by the lack of movie that I watched in the last week or so. So, you just took me.
No.
Right. So, Kenneth, what have you watched recently?
Right. Funny you should talk about Storm Riders, because it's a fair connection to the movie I watched last, which was a movie directed by Andrew Lau, who is not directing Storm Warriors, but he directed Storm Riders. And the movie I watched that he directed was The Flock, starring Richard Gere, Claire Danes, and in a small, like, 3-minute role, if that, Avril Lavigne. But she's... firmly on the, she's like the third cast member listed on the case. So there you go. So The Flock, Andrew Lau's English language directing debut from 2007, and it's basically the plot is, I'll just read out what I wrote myself. Having been let go of his job as an employee at the Department of Public Safety, Richard Gere's Errol Babbage, that's his name. Errol Babbage has been tracking down and following sex offenders to the point where he's doing things his way. You know, he's a bit above the law. So he becoming a monster with only enough humanity in him, basically. So he goes after the sex offenders if he feels like they deserve basically a beating. This character Claire Danes plays, Alison Lowry, she's his replacement because he's been let go. He's not retiring. He's been let go. The two go on a hunt after a sex offender in Babbage's registry that might be connected to the case of a missing girl that the police are handling. So basically, Errol Babbage wants to make good on his last case because he's haunted by a case where he didn't do well, according to himself. So he's trying to redeem himself in a way. And it was a troubled production, actually. Andrew Lau apparently left or was fired from the project before it was completed. And an uncredited director finished the movie and some reshoots. And there was barely any cinema release for The Flock. There was this rumor last year, I think you told me about this too, that it was slated for a UK cinema release.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit a small one, still slated for one. I don't think that ever happened, or it was minute at best. So it's not really enjoying a fairly obscure DVD life. And it was also released in different versions in America and Europe. The European version adds about 10 minutes, and it's reportedly more of a director's cut. And it's actually funny, because in the European version, there's a scene with there's a dream sequence involving a wolf that Claire Danes and Richard Gere have spotted at a sort of a S&M parlor, if you will. And this dream sequence and what turns out to be an actual wolf or wolf dog in Claire Danes' apartment, it's actually not in the American cut of the film, but firmly on the back cover of the American DVD. So it's very confusing that scene never was in the film, in the American version. This movie is at best decent, but it's quite forgettable as well. But I was quite intrigued that Andrew Lau is back in like territory that is the harshest he's ever been in since like Rape by an Angel, when he directed that in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit surprised when I learned of the plot of this film that it was not an Infernal Affairs clone, because obviously Andrew Lau was noticed because of Infernal Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Not Storm Riders, not Rape by an Angel, and certainly not Young and Dangerous internationally by Hollywood producers. So yeah, it's kind of a plus point. It intrigued me to see where he could go with it in this harsh territory, and he's certainly very trigger happy style wise, a bit too much actually. It reminded me of the style in Tony Scott's movies like Man on Fire. And that other movie he made with Keira Knightley, where she was the bounty hunter. What was that called?
Domino.
Yes, that's right. This very, very intense style. And I like when Tony Scott does it, actually. But this hyper style is with manipulating the images and trying to echo a gritty tone that this film sets. It's fun for a few minutes at the beginning, but it gets old very quickly. And really, it's only a decent film. It's a very familiar film. It doesn't stand out. It's basically another Seven in some ways. And then again, you can't really reinvent stories all the time, but it doesn't really stand out. It is basically the burnt-out cop, albeit it's not a cop, last case, training a new replacement, and a style you've seen before. And it can't really come up above you know, at a decent level. It rests a little bit at a decent level, but it peters out after a while. So it had opportunities, and Richard Gere certainly does okay, this very dark character. I've never really had anything against Richard Gere as such. So, I mean, it's watchable, but was never deserving of a big cinema release, really. The end product reeks of these direct video releases, and it's certainly... that was its fate, and I'm sure this movie would not have been, you know, 10 times better had the production gone smoothly. It's just, you know, it's in the script, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for you, Stu, as a fan of Andrew Lau, I do recommend watching it if you can get the rental at Lau Film.
I think so. I should be able to pick that up somewhere.
So, those of us like me who are expecting very little with Andrew Lau alone in the director's chair, this becomes, you know, decent at times. But those that really like Andrew Lau and expect Infernal Affairs again, because they think Andrew Lau solely brought out, you know, the masterful status class of that film, they're going to be very disappointed with The Flock. And despite it being a very harsh film, a very harsh harsh territory. But yeah, Avril Lavigne appears briefly again. She's basically a trailer trash girl kind of thing. Not too different from from her as a pop star then and her videos and stuff.
I've actually got this film and had it on my shelf for months now, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's short enough too. I think it's below 90 minutes, so basically an easy watch. But I'm sure it won't be put on priority one after this review.
Yep.
So
certainly not.
But it is deserving of a watch, and this is what Andrew Lau got a chance to do. Have a feeling Hollywood will not be opening any doors for him anytime soon, though. But it's a difficult. It's a difficult transition. I mean, an Asian director. I'm surprised, though. But this isn't the 90s, so he didn't get a Jean-Claude Van Damme vehicle to start. Because every fucking Hong Kong director did in the 90s. but that was a good... that was a good transition you could make into Hollywood. Because in 93 or 94 or 95, Jean-Claude Van Damme could... movies could get cinema releases and they're bringing the bucks, so that was them. So that's me, Stuart.
Okay, for Stuart, we watched Big Bullet.
Oh, yeah.
The Benny Chan action vehicle from 1996.
Is this off the ban list?
It is indeed.
What number?
They're not numbered.
Oh.
They are.
Wait, they are, but I don't follow them by the number. It's just taken upon the mood. But the thing
Fair
is,
enough,
it's stricken off the list, so.
Is this a rewatch or a first time?
This is a rewatch.
Fucking hell, you're harsh on him, Mike. Is it off the bad list? Is it a rewatch?
Did you watch all the credits at the end of the movie?
I want to know all the details for this. Somebody's got to, you know.
We save this stuff for the bad segment, which we actually are going to have tonight.
Gotta keep Stu honest.
I am honest.
Damn. Go on then. Review it.
Well, it's basically this real diehard type vehicle where instead of the character of John McClane, he's been kind of sliced into six characters, each having their own stereotypical thing about them. We have Chung Tat Ming, who's like the gun expert, knows all about the bullets, the San and X, and he owns all the guns. We've got Ken's friend, Apple, played by Teresa Lee, who's the annoying lass.
Yeah.
Then we've got the veteran, who's, well, not, right, we've got the veteran of the late Spencer Lamb.
That's right.
We have our lead character, Lau Ching Wan. And then we have the...
What was his name in the movie, by the way? Did he have, like, a cool, hard name?
Bill
was
Chu.
Bill.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing like Teresa Lee's Apple.
Oh.
But, and the other character who would be the other main lead is Jordan Chan, who plays the real military-style cop who plays everything by the book, but he has a brother that's gotten mixed in with the triads.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like several little cliches put into a group and told they've got to stop these bad guys. And the bad guys, played brilliantly by Anthony Wong, who actually does have the cool name of Bird. And then we've got Yurong Guang as Professor. And I think there's a bunch of other Caucasian twats. John Wakefield and some other folk that he cared for. So,
there's nothing wrong with John Wakefield. He's a good guy. He was in Once Upon a Time in China, Free, where he played a Russian.
Yeah. You racist.
Ah, wished. I ain't got no time for these crackers.
Name all the Asian actors, and then it's just some white twats. Do the rest of it.
There are some white twats late in the film, though.
Yeah, foreign
soldiers.
Devils.
Mm. Are you mental? That was the best line for Big Bullet.
Yeah. But, man, it was just the film that had... Now I'm getting this... I might be getting this mixed up with Those Were the Days and this film, where one of the characters says to the other... Well, in actual English dialogue, it's a Hong Kong actor speaking English saying, don't fuck up again. And the subtitle comes up, no more games.
How did you get over that big hurdle?
It is big bullet, because Anthony Wong kind of repeats himself saying, "Don't fuck up again." And then it comes up with a subtitle saying, "No more games."
bring in the subtitle, freaks.
I know, this is a travesty for the Hong Kong audience that are trying to learn English. Like, he's fed up. He's like, "Oh, I can't be bothered playing anymore."
Well, have you ever experienced that on TV shows? Because I remember I've watched TV shows before. You know when it's sometimes people who are speaking English. Well, no, they're speaking English, but, like, you know, either it's not their first language and it's a bit muffled, or, you know, like in Trainspotting with in American, supposedly audiences, they subtitle some of it.
Yeah.
Right? When they do that, they don't spell out swear words like fuck. You can hear somebody say fuck, but they won't type it out. It'll be F, you know, dash, dash, dash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because writing swear words, for some reason, is worse than saying them.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like Scottish is that hard to translate, because the worst I can talk is... I didn't get what those fucking cunts talking about, but we're just going to the methyl for a wee bally. See?
Yeah.
Smash your puss in.
I'll kick his puss in. Fucking stomp that cunt's jaw. Right.
I like Swally. That's one of my favourites.
Oh, going for a wee Swally?
Yeah.
Aye. Swally my brew.
Go ahead, carry on. Actually, right. I got a question for you.
Okay.
How big are the bullets?
Well, just fairly normal bullets.
No cannonballs or anything.
No. But come on, they throw.
But it has some. Yeah, it has some firepower.
There is some explosions.
Yeah, but I was hoping for like a huge gun.
And if you do look at the front cover, it's basically a montage of floating heads of all the main characters, with as well as another shot of them running along the floor, the ground. Mm-hmm. And the entire background is like fire. You know, like they're running away from Judgment Day.
Fire. Mm-hmm.
So, basically, I think it's coming. I think it comes to a big bank heist.
Yeah, there's a centerpiece in the film, which is basically the highlight of the film in the middle of the film.
Yes.
The big Anthony Wong bank heist that starts with this extremely brutal murder at like a cafe or restaurant.
Night of William June.
And then shit's on.
Yeah. So, this is quite a good film. I was finally put off by, I think the Tai Sing DVD released it as Big Bullet Part 1.
Huh?
And I've always been curious, like, what's Part 2?
Yeah. There was never a sequel to this.
Mm-hmm. Any film they want to sell that's rubbish, and they just retitle it Big Bullet Part 2.
Maybe. Yeah, there you go. Someone had a bright idea once, I don't think it was Tai Seng, to rename Last Blood, the Wong Jing movie with Andy Lau, as Hard Boiled 2.
Mm-hmm.
But Last Blood was made before
Hard Boiled.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man, that probably was Eastern Heroes in the UK that had that bright idea.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? That was the UK title.
I'm kicking myself for getting rid of that VHS. That was a fun film.
Yeah, it's a fun film, but you know, one of those titles that, okay, it's on screen for like 1 second. It's not like they, the movie tried to be like a sequel, really. It's just...
Aye, it was just basically a big choice between who's going to live, Andy Lau's girlfriend or the Dalai Lama.
Exactly, that's right. That is the premise of the film.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
So, other than that, that's been the main watch for me this week. Other than that, it's just been heavy rotation in the Storm Warriors trailer.
I gotta ask you though, I always had an issue with the finale of the film. Lao Qingwang versus Yuren Guang on the plane.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's still
That would never happen.
Yeah.
You know, he would never manage to beat Yuren Guang. I just had an issue with that. Like, mm-hmm. Nah, I like Lao Qingwang. I really like Lao Qingwang, but nah.
Mm-hmm. But you have to think in a way, is like, how. If Bruce Willis can do it to all those guys in Die Hard 2, which is basically the exact same ending.
Yeah, there you go.
Just translate. It's like, I could think of Lao Qingwang as the Hong Kong version of Bruce Willis. One day.
But it's a fairly fun ride, though. And nothing else, but I do reserve the right to feel that Teresa Lee, which I think has done very well in other movies, but this one of her first movies, she's, you know, the spunky cop.
Yes.
It's, oh, God.
Apple.
And I believe she speaks English for some parts of the film. She is Canadian Chinese.
She's the one that has the banner with the British soldiers at the end.
And Lao Ching Wan butts in there and it's like broken English. Just shut the fuck up and do it or whatever he says. But I always, again, I remember the when they talk with the British guards there. Again, I remember that line. Are you mental?
Yes. And he's pointing to his head and like.
It sounded like, not very, you know, you would think he would be more military, like, but it's like he got to play himself for like a second there. Are you mental? I just thought that was fun.
Right, so.
Are we done?
Yeah, I think we've covered the last movies watched. Great.
Righty, so question for tonight on the subject of cinema releases that we talked about during the last few weeks. Do you think Ong Bak 2 and Ip Man will get UK cinema releases? The prospect of seeing a couple of the best martial artists in the industry at the moment kicking ass on the big screen in the UK is whetting, according to Tom, is his quote, is whetting my appetite. So, have you heard anything about Ong Bak 2 and Ip Man coming to UK, guys?
I've not heard anything about the UK release of Ong Bak 2. Adam did mention it last year, but since then we've not found out who owns the rights. I think if we knew who owned the rights, we'd probably get a better idea of if they were the type of people that would do cinema releases.
Did the first one ever eventually get to the big screen?
Aye. That was when it was with a contender. That did get a lot of. I do remember seeing a lot of advertisements and billboards and that. In Scotland, at least, for it. But, Mike, you heard any companies, or which company would be releasing Ong Bak 2 yet?
No. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Contender is still shitting out Asian films on DVD, so I wouldn't be surprised if they were in there. But when I said that to Adam before, he said no. So, I don't know, you would have thought it's either going to be Contender or Cine Asia.
Mm-hmm. Well, Metrodome are still in the game because...
Yeah, unless Metrodome or Momentum or something like that.
Cinema releases of Warlords, Battle of Wits, and some, I think there's a third one as well. So for them,
yeah, well,
and The Chaser.
But that would be the different kind of cinema releases that only play for like one day or two.
No, I think it would just selected cinemas.
Right.
So it'd be shown in like for a fortnight in a art house cinema.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? I would have. Ong Bak got a big, you know, fairly big cinema release, and they had that going. I don't know. Chocolate had a bit of a theatrical run recently from Cine Asia.
Yeah,
I've got a feeling Ong Bak 2 probably wouldn't.
Really?
Being a kind of period film, and the fact that Warrior King didn't get one, I wouldn't be surprised if it just went straight to DVD. I mean, there's always possibility it would get a theatrical, but.
So you think modern is more the key to getting it to be a more of an attractive movie in terms of cinema release?
Yeah, but I would have thought.
Well, Tom Yung Kung was a modern film as well, so then again, that argument doesn't really hold water.
It kind of came at the arse end of Premier Asia and Contender's interest in Asian films, though, didn't it? So
yeah,
I don't know if they would have. Either they decided not to bother put it theatrically. I don't think it came out theatrically anyway. I could be wrong about that. They either thought it wasn't worth it, or they just could be bothered to spend the money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Ip Man, I don't know. Like I said, Cine Asia did Chocolate at the cinema, and they're releasing It Man on Blu-ray and DVD in December this year. So there's a possibility that they'll want to get that to cinema, especially as it's been getting good reviews and awards and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is it easy for these, by the way, to get mainstream press, these kind of movies?
Well, that's basically why they release it. They put it on a short run in a few of the bigger cities around Britain, mm-hmm. and obviously in London, just mm-hmm. so that it gets press screenings, and that means it'll get featured in Empire and Total Film and Time Out and Uncut and some of the newspapers as well.
Same with when I was in London, the subways, they were covered in posters for Flashpoint. Now it's just a DVD release.
So really?
I think...
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So normally it's kind of... You would have thought they'd reserve that kind of stuff for things that they thought would get at least decent reviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they think it's going to get a stinky review, then there's publicity... but not negative. But seeing as It Man has done well review wise and award wise, I think that's got a decent chance of actually getting a stab on the old cinema.
Mm-hmm. But then again, do you think you would have seen it? Would that it will probably fit into the slot of like an art house film, because it's foreign, it's not, you know, a brain dead action film. So you can't really push it as Flashpoint, basically, if you compare it. So, because Ip Man will never be able to look one, modern, and mm-hmm. two, it's never been advertised as a hard film, you know, and Ip Man is not Flashpoint title wise, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
I think if they just show like fight scene footage of Donnie Yen punching the faces off people, we'd probably get them quite far.
Yeah, some punch in process and some really angry face, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that being put on subway posters, I guess.
But it would be a difficult sale.
But retitle, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Flashpoint 2.
I mean, to be honest, releases of Asian films in the UK at the cinema, admittedly, it's only small releases. There's quite a few. I don't think the UK does too badly on that front.
Yeah.
We certainly talked about that the distributors are, a few key ones, are picking up the sort of key movies too, awards wise, and the ones with word of mouth and good action and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, The Good, the Bad, and the Weird was on at the cinema. I think Mad Detective got a bit of theatrical from it.
Did indeed.
Adam. And obviously The Host, I saw that at the cinema.
Aye, I saw that as well. I think that was when... Was the comes out at least that?
That was The Host. That was Optimum.
Yes, that's them.
Can't.
That's what it's called. I just happened
Thank
to
for
be
releasing in... that so I can see it on the big screen.
Yes, that was a selected release. I just happened to be in Glasgow at the time, so... Alright, all you cunts are coming to go see The Host with me. What is it? It's Korean. Aww. Mm.
I think The Warlords recently as well, from Metrodome, got a theatrical.
It did indeed.
I said, it's not like you can walk down to your local multiplex and get it, unless you live in a big city. It's going to be like Manchester and Birmingham and Liverpool and...
Edinburgh.
London, Edinburgh, Cardiff, those kind of places.
It's basically the same over here. Big cities get the select screenings if they do occur. Otherwise, it's festival play probably dominates. If it's not a B movie like Kung Fu Hustle, which obviously is backed by a pretty large company, it's going to be more widespread. Even I could see Kung Fu Hustle at the cinema. So they had... they could distribute that all over the country, but otherwise, it's over here. They're more deemed for festival play rather than extensive screenings and or very selective releases. So,
yeah,
but it's more positive in a way. Sorry that nowadays for at least for one kawaii movies and Studio Ghibli films, they're re-releasing them because they never had a release in the cinema in the first place. So, like Kiki's Delivery Service got a release like last year or the year before that. So even though I can't see them because they're, again, big cities, I kind of like that fact that they can squeeze in, you know, old films, old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There is an upcoming movie hitting UK cinemas. Probably when this podcast is out, it has already premiered at cinemas. But Redcliffe, John Woo's Redcliffe. I've heard, but I've not looked into it, that it's not the original version. It's a shortened version. But that may be for America. I've heard rumors that it's going to be shortened or cut up.
Yeah, well, they're planning to put part one and part two together and then edit that down into one film.
Are they doing that for this upcoming release? Do you know that?
I know that's the plan for the US, but I'm not sure about the UK.
For the UK, well, I've looked on the internet a couple of times and there's no even a UK website or what company that's releasing it, because it's fucking sparse in information. The only thing I was able to find on IMDb was that they've trimmed some scenes from the UK release due to animal cruelty, like horses taking bad falls, stuff like that, but that's it. It doesn't mention, there's no articles say it's blending these together, what company's releasing it. I can't put a fucking poster on the website talking about it if I can't find the fucking UK poster.
But, you have Photoshop skills, my friend.
All there is like an advert of it being shown every break on like Comedy Central or Dave.
So therefore this is number one, a very selective release, and it's not even hitting any small cities. I'm guessing it's only big cities that's getting this.
I'm not too sure because ever since I think Crouching Tiger came out, that kind of gave movies like Hero, House of Flying Daggers, and Curse of the Golden Flower, like wide cinema releases.
Again, Columbia, by the way, or Sony.
Aye, so being with that company, they got, like, it wasn't limited releases, they got national.
Mm.
So, depending on the company that's releasing Redcliffe, it'll just show how many releases, how many theatres it's actually going to reach.
Mm.
But it would be cool to see it in the cinema.
The film is 1 hour, no, 147 minutes.
Like part one.
So 2 hours and 27 minutes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the first film is that long.
It's coming out on June the 12th.
Next Friday.
Yep, and it's distributed. It's got a 15 rating.
It has indeed.
And the trailer is about on the internet. It's just come up in the last couple of days.
Motherfucker, how could you find all this stuff?
Because I'm better than you.
Yeah, effectively.
Now, how long was the cinema release, you said?
It's coming out on the 12th.
How long?
Like, between how long?
Movie running. Running time.
Oh, the running time. It's 2 hours and 27 minutes.
Okay, how much is that in minutes? Maths doesn't work well with Stuart.
Oh, 147 minutes.
Oh, weird. That's 7 minutes longer than the DVD.
Again, there's speed issues, but
Parliament
FD probably. I'm not sure about that. But
PAL's faster, isn't it?
Oh, aye, so that would take 7 minutes off.
Should be 4% faster, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Although, wasn't there a director's cut? But there shouldn't be.
Not a Redcliffe. It was only released part one and part two. But combining the two, I mean, again, you will have the option of the original movies on Hong Kong DVD and Blu-ray and stuff, but combining the two, I don't know, it's it always seemed like a good idea to split this epic in two, because otherwise it would be like a 5-hour movie, but I don't know.
Maybe they've just released like Redcliffe, and when it gets to the hour 40 minute, it shows you the last 7 minutes of Redcliffe part two.
Yeah. So anyway, whoever is handling it in the US, do whatever the fuck you want. The Hong Kong DVD and the Blu-ray, or whoever wants that, still out there.
Exactly.
So not saying it's a dimension of Miramax and Weinstein's Hunting Red Cliff in America, but whoever's doing it, go on.
Do your worst.
Yeah.
But
is there any other recent movies you...
Sorry to interrupt you a sec. It's been cut by 3 seconds.
Right, so just a minor horse fall then, yeah.
By the BBFC?
Yep.
Yeah, it must be for the...
horses taking bad falls.
The animal shit.
You can never get away from that. So, it's law, so...
We don't like seeing animals get fucked up on film.
Mm. Don't import Hong Kong movies, especially old ones. Then. You know, Mr. Vampire series. I don't know how number one, how many movies got released in the UK aside from one, but how many would pass uncut? Because I imagine there should be a slaughter of a chicken or three within those movies. You know, cutting off of a chicken's head.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a debate that. That someone else could engage in. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to other UK releases, I think not much comes to mind. Obviously, we had the Good and the Bad and the Weird a little while ago, just in a way to get some buzz around the DVD coming out. Adam Terrell's obviously been giving cinema releases to all his upcoming DVDs.
Mm.
I remember advertising them on the site a little while back.
Yes, indeed.
Outside of festivals, I'm drawing a blank because, as we all know, rule number one is getting a cinema release. But festival.
Yeah, exactly. And that would never get even a selective cinema release because it's number one. It's a small movie in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that it's only part of a festival. It would deserve to be seen by more, but it's just the nature of things that it's going to be a small movie.
Yeah.
A small, great movie, but small indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little bit more Redcliffe news. Just sent Stu the poster. I think it looks quite funky. I really like the poster. It's got the, from John Woo, director of Mission Impossible 2 and Face Off.
Yes.
they're still riding
it, it gets so that's I like what it's dubbed as in the trailer from visionary director John Woo.
Yeah, so the poster's pretty nice and it's
director of From Rags to Riches.
It's distributed by Entertainment Film Distributors, who look like they released Haunting in Connecticut and 17 again with Zac Efron, The Reader with Kate Winslet, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past with Matthew McConaughey. So it's definitely not an Asian specific kind of company or anything.
Hmm.
So obviously they must be running on the John Woo thing.
They're riding on that cash cow.
Hmm? Oh, the possible two cash cow. It's really odd to try and ride like 10-year-old movies, but... It's still a face-off deserves to be highlighted. Don't get me wrong. I like that film, but, you know.
As I mentioned, films like Hero and House of Flying Daggers, they were far easier to go see, as well as an even closer cinema, which would be considered a smaller local cinema, which shows films like a fortnight before they're released on DVD. We managed to go see Kung Fu Hustle, Inferno Affairs 2, Zatoichi. We got to see a lot of these great films before they just came out on DVD, so that was a little bit after the official releases. Well, the official cinema releases.
Mm.
But other than that, there's been times where we've travelled Edinburgh to see screenings of Spirited Away, One Armed Swordsman, Hero. But yeah, most of the time it's worth it.
Right. How about you, Mike?
Well, I live right by Birmingham, which officially is the second city in Britain, well, in the UK, in England anyway. So usually the Asian films pop on somewhere on the cinema near me, so it's not really much of a trek to go and see it.
Right.
Like I said, I saw The Host in Birmingham. Mm. Actually, I wanted to see Ashes of Time Redux when that came out, but that didn't actually play in Birmingham, which is a bit of a disappointment. I don't know. I don't really make like an active effort to hunt down Asian films to see them in the cinema. I mean, I would if it was
a film you're interested in.
Well, no, classic kung fu and stuff like that. You know, if the, if there were screenings of Project A, you know, proper 35mm and stuff like that.
Films
somewhere
you're interested
around.
In.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm interested in like the good, the bad, and the weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't make much. Like, you know, I didn't make much of an effort to go and see it because, you know, I'd just pick it up on DVD.
Yeah.
Or rent it, or you know, get it from somewhere. Get a promo copy. Blag it. And mooch. I don't know. I'd say, mate. I'm more of a DVD kind of person. I have my little projector at home and I slap that on. I do love going to the cinema, but you know, a lot of the time with Asian films, I can own the film on DVD for like the same amount as it would cost me to go to the cinema to see it once. So, you know, I can watch it on my projector, and if I don't like it, sell it and get some of the money back or trade it for something else. So, you know, finances wise, it makes more sense to stick with the DVDs. But, I mean, if I was at a loose end, I was going to the cinema anyway. That's what happened with The Host, in fact. Me and my girlfriend were going to the cinema anyway to watch something, and then when we walked up there, saw The Host was on, so it was like, let's go and see that.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
That was just the same for us. There was nothing else on at the time. It was like, that film's on. I've heard it's good. Then cool, basically convinced, if you don't like it, I'll pay for your ticket. Oh no, I've never gone to that stage.
Well, that
Korean,
could be foolish.
Korean monster movie with Heart and Substance, as it turned out, yeah?
Oh yeah, everyone loved it.
Yeah, it's a cracking film.
Mm-hmm. I think after that, me and my friends kind of went, just basically went and watched all the Korean films I owned, like the Vengeance trilogy, JSA, all these other films. That were really high at that time. So.
You can't get any better with JSA and probably Save the Green Planet for me in terms of Korean.
Oh, yeah,
I
mind that,
that is just amazing stuff.
So, the ban list. It's a short update. There was a gap between our last, well, the shows we recorded last time, so it's kind of given me a chance to cut a couple out of the list. So, I'm thinking last time since I've done a proper update, there's been about 4 or 5 films I've watched. So I think our list is down to 45 movies left. Last week, of course, as I mentioned, I'd watched Big Bullet, as well as watching Young and Dangerous 3, and the Young and Dangerous spin-off starring Jordan Chan, Those Were the Days.
So. Did this list start at 50 or was it 60?
60.
Ah, it was 60, okay. Because see, 5 seemed like, Jesus Christ, you've been going for like 2 months now. I've only watched 5 movies.
Now you know why Michael's been hassling me.
I guess.
Pick it up, man, come on. But yeah, I'm really needing to like have like a movie night. But then all this shit happens, I'll get a text message, people want to go on the Xbox. I'll realise that I've not watched last week's wrestling. Hey, you're like I said, wrestling and not like Coronation Street.
Yeah, you can call it whatever you like.
Mm-hmm. So, other than that, I just really need to find a night where I could sit down, have a couple beers, and just put film after film on.
Watch comeuppance, man.
I know, I really need to.
The important question is, though, Stu.
Yeah?
Have you bought any films?
I've not even considered it. Not even rented it, like how you get movies on demand. I've not even touched that either.
There you go. The ban list is working.
It is working, yes. Because if I did buy something, I would have to like end the segment completely because I would be living a lie. And I'm honest, man.
It's a real life issue.
Yeah. Margaret's like, we should buy that DVD. I'm like, no, no, never. I've still got 45 other movies you won't like for me to watch. But still.
That's an interesting, theoretical question. If Mags buys a film, are you allowed to watch it?
Well, most of the time when she buys the movies, I don't want to fucking watch the same movies as her.
Fair enough.
The poor lassie, well, not the poor lassie, fuck me. she's got different interests in films when it comes to what we're going to sit down and watch. But she is quite open to watching Asian cinema, so it is a blessing.
But when you get the scared stiff, you can include her because it has charming fat.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So there you go.
And then after the first 10 minutes, she'll probably walk out, but still.
Yeah, wazy, wazy.
Yeah.
That's charming fat.
Oh, he's not the challenge fat I wanted. And she'll just go on the internet instead. And I'm left to my own device.
Yeah. Alright, should we move on then?
Yep, on to the plugin.
Storm Rider theme, by the way. So, maybe Stu has chosen to plug this, but fuck it, I will. Anyway, for those that care about Storm Riders, it's apparently its 10th anniversary, which it really isn't. Because it was released in 1998, but they re-released it on DVD and Blu-ray in Hong Kong. So I guess for fans of it, it's perhaps worth an upgrade, because the old DVD is very old. It's probably not very much older than the original movie release year, I reckon. And that is out on Blu-ray and DVD. And for those that care about Johnny Toe on Blu-ray, Election is coming out on Hong Kong DVD, Hong Kong Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. It's actually already released. It was released at the end of May, I'm sorry, and it's same with Storm Riders, 27th of May. So those craving an upgrade from their DVDs of Storm Riders and Election, I certainly don't need to update my Election DVD. They're out there on Hong Kong DVD, and I don't know if the price is right at 198 Hong Kong dollars, but I have no insight into DVD, Blu-ray pricing, sorry. So, There you go. But the stuff coming out, new movies on Blu-ray is certainly going to look good. Not old movies.
Mm-hmm.
And also our favorite celebrity photographer has his movie, The Sniper, starring Edison Chen, coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. And VCD. So, yeah. Very important. VCD is still important, so it's good stuff to pick up on Hong Kong DVD, people. So that's me done. Stuart?
Okay, for me, I'm basically going to plug our new site. It's still same address, podcastandfire.com, but we have this nice new layout. It's very slick, very black. It's
sex.
It is. It's the sex. It's one of these things where we could add widgets and plugins. So you now have the ability on the homepage to submit your questions to the show. All you need to do is slap in your name, email address, and your question. It's very easily accessible. All it is, type your message, click send. It also has a media player, which for people that visit the site regularly, it's the same media player as before. Point, click, and it plays the episode. And this time it won't sound wonky. So yeah,
but that just sounded wonky.
Yeah, damn, I need to take my phone off. High score. I'm reading text messages. Right, reached. Yeah, and also it has our Twitter feed. I think we have 2 followers. Thank you for following us. But in the words of Ken, give it time. But I want the world now. Other than that, I'm really starting to get into the habit of posting on the site regularly. Hopefully by the time this podcast goes up, I've already written a post advertising the UK release of Redcliffe in the theatres, now that Mike's provided some information on it. We'll be definitely advertising things, how the Edinburgh International Film Festival, we already mentioned Ekin Cheng's film. I might look into finding what the Korean films were and getting posts up about them. I'm always interested in posting up the limited cinema releases of movies Adam Terrell is releasing through Third Window Films. And other articles I've started is the STFU. No, I'm not telling you to shut the fuck up. I've actually basically, well, it stands for Stu's Top Fights Unleashed. Yep, didn't take me like 5 minutes to come up with the right words for that acronym.
You didn't need to hire an agency for that.
Nope. So basically, this is just a occasional article which includes, well, which I write basically explaining selected fight scenes from selected Hong Kong movies. Well, not Hong Kong movies, selected action movies, which have to at least star an Asian star. I'm babbling, but it's basically just explaining why this fight scene rocks. My opening article included the fight scene, the rooftop fight scene on Who Am I, starring Jackie Chan. I explained the starting of the scene, why I like the scene, how I first came across seeing this movie, and just why is it awesome. And also, I'm going to add like a little section at the bottom, basically explain at what point who gets the worst bump, like who takes the worst shot.
So, and who does?
I think it's Kwan Young. There's one moment where he gets his head wrapped up in his jacket, and Jackie's just basically pounding his head with a fist, and then the elbows. Like, get that man some anodin.
Certainly a contrast to what I'm, the hokey thing I'm doing on my YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Which I actually need to start posting on the site as well. Because I'm sure there's an audience. Well, obviously you have your audience on YouTube. Hopefully people that listen to this podcast are obviously going to be aware of your channel on YouTube, so I'm just blathering shite.
Yeah.
I think my next STFU will be of Ip Man, of that legendary 10 Japanese soldiers fighting Donnie Yen. That awesome fight scene. Other ones I'm planning on in the future would be the Dojo fight and Jet Li's Kiss of the Dragon. My god, I'm sounding like the Weinstein Company. No, Dimensions, one of the two. Mirror Act, that's it. So Kiss of the Dragon, that had an amazing fight scene in it, so I'm definitely going to write up a wee article about that one. And even if you have suggestions, you could just use the send us an email function on site. If you want to recommend any great fight scenes to me, just do it, just go for it. The email address I am using for the website is podcastandfire@googlemail.com. So if you want to get in contact with the website about anything, podcastandfire@googlemail.com. And other than that, I think we should give a brief mention explaining shaking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you are an avid Facebooker, you might, hopefully, you've had a friend request from Dean Shaking Cheng. If you're wondering who the fuck that is, it's basically the Podcast and Fire mascot, who just kind of looks like this big bobble-headed Dean Check, but with Ekin Cheng hair. It's sort of like
fucking creepy.
Yeah,
the yin and yang of Podcast and Fire.
Well, there's certainly no way to not make it creepy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's several.
But it's the only logical choice for a mascot.
Mm-hmm. There is several photos of Shekin on our Facebook account.
You know what would be a combination you could put into that mascot? It would be the Donnie Yen body.
Dear Lord.
No shirt, obviously. So
obviously.
So whoever was the artist?
Brian
Kirby.
Mm-hmm. You better get Photoshop open.
Donnie Yen body on Shekin, please.
So yeah, hopefully we're going to try and generate some interest on Facebook via our fan account, because I think we've all came to the state where Facebook groups have been pretty obsolete. They're not really, I don't see Facebook updating them nowadays, and they're not really things you could see advertised on your profile. They're really things that's in the background. You have to go out of your way to find updates.
Yeah.
On groups. So that's something they've kind of really abandoned, and we're not wanting to be stuck in the back with it. So occasionally there is going to be maybe weekly posts from the Shekin account asking for questions. So there's another way you could get in contact with Joe. You could send us messages via Facebook, through email, this, that, and the next. So yeah, I've done a lot of plugging. So Mike?
I'm gonna plug a online store. Now, I've bought from Thai Megamart before, over the years. Mm-hmm. Usually when they've got a sale on, because their prices are pretty good. And so, a couple of months back, or a month or so back, not sure how long it was now, I ordered a dozen Shaw Brothers films from them. Now, because they're only $4 each. Mm. Now, the shipping's fairly expensive because they use FedEx, but it means it arrives in like 2 days after they've sent it, which is pretty awesome. And to reduce the postage costs, I have them sent without the cases. So what they do is they obviously unwrap the shrink wrap, take out the artwork, fold it nice and neatly, you know, along one of the spine ridges in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Take the disc, put that in a little separate sleeve, put that inside the artwork. The artwork goes inside a bag, and a sealable baggy thing. And then a piece of cardboard is put over it. And then they're all, like, stuck together with polystyrene on each side, so they don't get all bent up and that.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's nice and light, so it's cheaper to get postage on them. Now, when I got my order through, two of the films, they've got like these, I think it's EMP or EPS or something, like stickers on the front. Not right. Entirely sure what they're for, some kind of, you know, I don't know, officially typed sticker or whatever. Now, what whoever unpacked them tried to do is peel the sticker off the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And all it did was rip the artwork. You know when you start peeling something like paper and like the top layer comes off?
Yeah.
So you've got like that fuzzy kind of paperiness underneath. But the actual printed stuff is just peeled straight off.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that had happened, but instead of obviously sending new ones or whatever, they just started pulling it and going, oh crap, and then just stuck the sticker back down.
So why are you recommending them?
Well, wait. I got those two came through like that, so I sent an email straight away and showed pictures of the damage and was like, oh, come on, what's this about? And they sent me an email saying that the two films were out of stock now, but they'll send me two replacement movies free of charge. I just had to pick off the site two movies I wanted.
Oh, well.
So I picked two other Shaw Brothers films I wanted, and they got sent to me for now. And I'm currently holding them in my hand, and they're in a perfectly good condition. So I've still got the other two with slightly ripped artwork, and two extra films for nothing.
Cool.
Why not?
And the woman I dealt with, Jeannie, from there, was very nice, really helpful all the time, and always responded to emails. And so although, you know, somebody there ballsed up,
mm-hmm.
they were nice enough and helpful enough to get it all sorted for me without any hassle. So that's why I'm plugging www.timegamart.com.
Awesome.
Their website's a bit shit, but the service is good.
Cool.
Goody. Anything else, Mike?
Nope.
Well, I guess that wraps up the show then, guys. So I've been your host this week, Kenneth Bolson. And with me has been throughout the show was
Matt.
And joining us late was
the incredible Shears Ireland.
Alrighty. See you later. Bye bye. I always come back to shut up. We're past Storm Warriors.
Bring it back to the Warriors.
I always come back to the what the fuck?
Withheld number. One sec. Good evening. It is indeed. I'm sorry, I'm actually in the middle of recording a podcast at the moment. Okay. Right, cheers, goodbye.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off.
She was quite reasonable there. Okay, continue. What were you about to say, Ken?